Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Look at the first six words of this verse. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. Let's pray. Father, you know the hearts of every one of us here today. You know those that are here that are saved and are in trouble with sin and need thy blessed touch and thy help to get out of its snare this day. You know those here that are lost and still under the guilt and burden of their sins for their eternal souls. On the road to a devil's hell. You know how many hours and days they have left. And Father, you know their hearts. And we'd ask that you would suit the word to the individual need of each heart here. I ask you for freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would have his way in this meeting. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, that sort of stands out, doesn't it? Fools make a mock at sin. It's a very simple little statement, but my, there's an awful lot of truth in it. Fools make a mock at sin. You know what those words mean? You know what a fool is? Every once in a while you go to the dictionary, you know. I used to teach school and the kids would say, how do you spell this, Mr. Kincaid? I said, there's a dictionary. It's what it's for. I'm not a speller. Dictionary will help you out. Dictionary will help you out a lot. You know, you can find out a lot of things in the dictionary. You know what it says a fool is? It says a fool is one who lacks sense, a silly, stupid person. Now, I didn't say that. I didn't write that down. I read that someplace. It said a fool is one who lacks sense, a silly, stupid person. That said fools make a mock at sin. Well, what does the word mock mean? You know what mock is? It's to treat with derision or ridicule. To treat with derision or to ridicule is to mock. It's to make fun of, to make light of. Act as if it doesn't mean anything. It's not important. Well, what about sin? A very simple definition is a transgression of divine law. We don't call it a sin when you get a traffic ticket. We call it a sin when you break God's law. So we have our civil law and we have our divine law. We think about sin. Now, if we put these things and translated them into this verse, fools make a mock at sin, we could say it this way. Somebody who lacks sense, a silly, stupid person, ridicules transgressing God's law. Did you get that? Was that simple enough, plain enough for you? A silly, stupid person who lacks sense makes light of, makes fun of, and ridicules the breaking of God's divine laws. I wonder, does that fit you today? Does that fit you today? Are you the kind of person that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, I'll try it, I'll live it? Are you the kind of person that just sort of says, well, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to get away with it anyway. There is no judgment, there is no death, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no problem, you know. I'm going to live forever. I'll never meet God in judgment. I'll never face my sins. We live in a time where situation ethics is the idea. It doesn't matter what you do because if you think it's all right, it's all right. There is no absolute right and no absolute wrong. There is no such thing as sin. It's just what you like or don't like, or what happens to be good for you, what happens to hurt you, what happens to help you. And that's all that matters. Well, I want you to know that God in His Word made a simple statement that fools make a mock at sin. And He was talking about this generation of people we have today and other generations and individuals like them that thought they could play with sin and get away with it. Fools make a mock at sin. You ever thought about what the results of sin are? I could go around here today and I could call out some individuals and I say, what's the result of your sin? You say, well, I've been saved, praise God, 5, 10 years. Is there still any result of sin in your life? Yes, there is. There's some of you today can't forgive yourself from some of the things you've done 15 years ago. That's a result of sin. It's called guilt. There's some of you that are still living with some of the results of your sin. Some of them are scars on the body. Some of them are scars on the character. Some of them are scars on your mind and your soul. And you're living with the results of sin. By the grace of God, He saved my soul 24 years ago in a couple of months. Yet I still have some scars mentally and physically from my sin. And you're going to carry some scars too. You think sin doesn't leave a result? It leaves a result. If you went down to the psychologist and psychiatrist today, you know what you'll find? The great majority of people sitting there and visiting them that cannot carry on a normal life or a normal job or a normal marriage or a normal home are there because of guilt that's on their soul that they've never been relieved of. And that's the result of sin, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, you're going to face it one day. One of the results of sin is guilt that you bear in your own soul. There's another one, that's sorrow. I've been visiting on a regular basis for 24 years people in trouble. You just wouldn't believe the sorrowful tales that I've heard. I hear people weeping and crying over sin. It may be their neighbor's sin. It may be their father's sin. It may be their son's sin. It may be their sin. But I want you to know one of the natural results of sin is sorrow. People are brokenhearted. People are down and depressed and whipped over this thing of sin. Their hearts are literally crushed within them because of sin. It is a natural result of sin. And no matter what you do, you cannot get away from it. You play with sin, you'll mess with sorrow. Pain. Awful lot of pain connected with sin. Mental pain and physical pain. Pain is a result of sin. Death is a result of sin, not only Adam's sin and the natural death that every man has, but there are a lot of deaths out on this road for the sin of drunkenness. Death is a result of sin. But not only, my friend, the physical death that we see today and the natural result of maybe somebody's sin causing a death in somebody's life today, physical death, but my Bible tells me that we're spiritually dead because of sin. And the Bible speaks of another kind of death called the second death, which is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire, and that is a result of sin. Sin has a result. It has a natural result. Guilt, sorrow, pain, death, and hell are all a result of sin. Some of sin's results are immediate and present. I've seen the time when I committed a sin, when I was caught immediately and spanked maybe by my folks, or rebuked, or got a ticket from somebody, or something happened to me. Maybe the immediate guilt. I've seen the time when nobody else knew what had happened. I had committed a sin, and immediately my joy left me, and my sorrow came to me, and my guilt flooded over me, and I had to live with that maybe for days before I could forgive myself for what I'd done, even though I'd confessed it to God and He had forgiven me. Sin has some immediate results. It has some future results in this life. Sometimes it doesn't come out. It doesn't immediately come out what the problem is. But maybe 6 months down the line, that sin gets uncovered. God won't let you get away with it. Let me say this. If you're a lost man or woman here today, you might get away with it till the great white throne judgment. You just might get away without it being revealed to everybody. You might hide something. But I warn you, if you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and you belong to Him, you mess with sin, He'll pull the blanket off you and drop you just as naked before the whole world. He will not let you get away with sin. You can hide it for a little while. You can play with it a little while. You can ignore it for a little while. You can go on with a big smile on your face for a little while. But the day is going to come when God's going to come in your life and He says, I cannot deal with you while you're living in sin. He's going to pull back the blanket and let you stand ashamed and condemned in your own sin so that you'll get it right so He can deal with you. You can't play with sin and get away. Sin has a natural result. And that's why fools make a mock at sin. Only a fool would make a mock at sin. Only a fool could make a mock at sin. Because sin is such a horrible thing. Have you ever thought about it? How much God hates hell? Did you know God hates hell? God hates hell.
You ever thought about the thought of hell in your mind, an eternal conscious torment of the damned? And some of those damned may be your husband's wives, children, mothers and fathers, or friends. I've thought about it many times. I've thought about it for my own soul. I've thought about it for people I've preached to and talked to in the streets. And I'll tell you what, it isn't a pleasant thought. I don't like the idea of hell. But God's Word teaches it, and I believe God. But I'll tell you what, God hates one thing worse than he hates hell, and that's sin. God hates sin. You think it doesn't matter what I do. I don't have to listen to what God has to say. I don't listen to what the Word has said. I have to listen to what God's man has to say. I can live my life any way I please, and it's all right for me to do whatever I want to do, and why should anybody have anything to say about it? God hates sin because sin is the very worst thing that can happen to you. When God wrote down any instruction for a believer, any instruction for life, when he wrote down his commandments, when he wrote down what was in this word here, he wrote down what was the best for you. And sin isn't in it. Anytime you sin, you misuse something that God made to be used another way. You take something beautiful and you misuse it, and that makes it sin. Sex and the relationship of a man and a woman is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. God meant for it to be loved and enjoyed between two married people. This generation has opened it up all over the place for anybody and everybody at any time. Just do anything you please. It doesn't matter. But I want you to know this generation's reaping the results of it today. Marriages are being destroyed by it, and people's lives are being destroyed by it. You can't mess with God's laws and get away with it. God meant for it to be right and good. But what the world has done with it, what this modern generation does with it, what mankind in their sin all through life have done with it, is perverted a good thing that God made for man. That's what sin always is. God hates sin. One reason why God hates sin, and there may be many, but one reason why God hates sin is because sin hurts you so much. If I sin today, who does it hurt? Well, personally, it hurts my conscience and my mind, my soul, my relationship to God, my confidence, my prayer life, my preaching life. But that isn't all it hurts. When it hurts me, when it destroys my confidence before the Lord, when it destroys my joy in the Lord, it hurts my wife. And it affects my children. And it affects my brothers and sisters in Christ. Sin is never alone. It's never solo. It's never separate. It is always contaminating somebody else or something else with it. God hates sin. And the one thing God is going to wipe out of this universe is sin and everything contaminated by it. Because God hates sin. As I said, one good reason why God hates sin is because sin is a thing that brings damage, sorrow, pain, and in the end, hell and death to people. Now let me ask you this. What's the reason for the result that we saw about sin? Ever thought about that? Why is it sin carries such a terrible result? The number one reason is because of God. There is a God. Number one, there is a God. Now you may talk to me and tell me, look, I don't believe in God or heaven and hell. Therefore, whatever man is big enough to do, let him do it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I'll never face a judgment other than what I can face in this life. And if you're right, you may go ahead and get away with it. Seems like some people do. Some people seem to cheat and lie and steal and seem to be successful down here. They get rich. Their kids are healthy. Everything goes all right for them. They have everything a man could ask for. But let's just suppose I'm right. That there is a God. He is a moral God. He is a holy God. And this God has a judgment day coming. And this God hates sin, just like the testimony is in the Word of God. Then, my friend, your little 70-odd years, if you lived your normal lifetime, all the riches of the world wouldn't be worth missing heaven. All the sex, all the beautiful women, all the free time, all the money, all the airplanes and cars you could buy, all the guns you could put in your trophy room, all of the things that you could add up would not be worth anything if there is a God as this Bible describes Him. Some of you are willing, as Brother Brent taught this morning, to gamble on that. My friend, it's a sucker bet. It is a sucker bet if I ever saw one. You're betting there is no God. Have you ever read in your Bibles this little statement? Psalm 14:1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said it. A simple, stupid person says there is no God. I've done a lot of study, and I've been to a lot of college classes. I've taught a lot of classes. I've read a lot of books. And I've read some men who said there were no God. There is no God. I've read some men that said this world just all happened by accident. Some great explosion happened out there, and just all these things. I read about, they talk about the how these things have developed so wonderfully over the years by evolution that all of mankind is in that little seed that's transferred between a man and a woman. And they talk about that being an accident. I want you to know, my friend, there's no way that could be an accident. No way. I've got a watch on my hand. It's a nice new watch. I really like it. You know, it just prints out. I don't even have to spell and count up the letters, you know. It just writes it out for me. I can tell what time it is now. You know what that watch is? It's a testimony to a watchmaker. What if I were to tell you today, you see that nice little watch I got before this? You know how that came about? Over millions and millions of years, these particles washed around in a muddy bog, and they slopped together over the years, and finally, one day by accident, that watch just popped out. You say, you crazy idiot. You're a fool. Anybody can tell that a watch was made by a watchmaker. Oh, how foolish can you be to think this world wasn't made by a world maker? How foolish can you be to think these animals weren't made by an animal maker? How foolish to think, my friend, that this body wasn't made by a body maker and a soul maker. How foolish to think that you cast out that heavens out there. There are some suns so big they cannot pass between the earth and our sun without touching both of them. There is one sun they discovered out there that's so huge that our sun and all of our planets in their orbits would fit within its circumference. No, some of the stars you see aren't stars at all. They're galaxies of millions of stars, and they shine as only one star. And no matter how big the telescope is, all it does is show more stars and more stars and more stars. As far as the eye can see, as far as the telescopes can reach, as far as man can imagine, there's still more out there. And you think that's an accident? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And my friend, I warn you, if down in your heart you're saying there is no God, there is no judgment, I'll never face my sins, and according to this word, you are a fool. And I say so to you this morning. You are a silly, stupid person. A very simple-minded person without any sense. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't care if you got a PhD and a THD and two or three other letters hanging behind your name. My Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why is there the results that we see to sin? Because there's a God out there that said so. There is a God that set the laws into motion that are there. There is a God that set the sun rising each day and setting each day. There's a God that set the sowing and reaping laws that we live by, we eat by, we grow by. And that same God sets certain spiritual sowing and reaping laws, and the result of sin is death. And you can't get around it, no matter what you do. There's no way for you to bypass it. Not only that, but God's character is holy. God is a holy God. Some people believe in God, but they believe in sort of a nasty little God that enjoys everything in this old world, enjoys sin. I was on the mission field in Guatemala.
I led this one woman to the Lord and her children to the Lord, but she said, oh, her husband was a hard man. So I kept going by trying to visit her husband. He was a traveling man. And so I finally got him. And I got him at the house. I sat down and I opened my Bible to him. And I showed him that God so loved him that he gave his only begotten son. That if he'd believe in him, he'd save his soul and change his life. That all his sin had come short of the glory of God. That the wages of that sin was death. But that God's gift to him would be eternal life if he'd but believe upon Jesus and receive him as his Lord and Savior. You know that man, I could sit there and talk to him about his business. I could sit there and talk to him about his family. I could talk to him about the town. I could talk to him about the culture. He was as nice a man as I've ever sat in the house with. But the minute I read the Word of God and mentioned the name of Jesus Christ, he'd almost growl. He wanted to leap out of that chair. And I guess if I hadn't been so big, he would have. But I am a little bit large. He wanted to leap out of that chair and grab me. But he didn't know whether I'd turn the other cheek or not. He didn't like the name of Jesus. You know why? He said Jesus was the bad God and Satan was the good God. He said, you know why? Because Jesus takes away everything that's fun and Satan gives you everything that's fun. Satan's the good God. He was a spiritist. And this man was a devil worshiper. He believed in a God, and he believed that the devil was his God. He recognized him and named him as his God, and he worshiped him as his God, and he hated the name of Jesus Christ. God is a holy God. God hates sin. You read this book, it'll convict you of sin. D.L. Moody said, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. One or the other. Fools make a mock at sin. There's another reason. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse. Some of you are so backslidden and so lazy and so careless in your life, and yet you wonder why a preacher ever comes by your house and talks to you and tries to tell you to do something. You say, it doesn't matter. You know, preacher, you know what you're talking about. Well, every generation's got to learn for itself that the stove is hot. It's an amazing thing, but that's true. Every generation's got to learn for itself. The stove is hot. You'll tell a little kid there, you got a little boy growing up, he's 5 years old, he's 4 years old. You say, don't touch the stove, it's hot. And he looks at it. And he's tempted. And he sees you working around the stove, and you pick this up, and you set that down, and you said, don't touch that stove, it's hot. In a little while, he says, they don't know what they're talking about. Let me see. Boy, he's got blisters all over his fingers. Why? Because we are so stubborn and stupid that we've got to learn for ourselves. We can't listen to anybody else. And some of you are so backslidden and so careless about the things of God, you've got to learn for yourself. You just got to suffer yourself. You just got to go out there and get burned. You got to go out there and get hurt. You got to go out there and have your marriage mess up. You got to go out there and have your job mess up. You got to go out and have your health messed up. Before you believe what God has to say. Now listen to what God says and believe it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He said, now don't fool yourself. Don't walk around in a little dream world with rosy tinted glasses on thinking God is a great big Santa Claus or a grandfather. God is no grandfather. Every child of his is born directly into his family. Not a grandfather. Just because your daddy was a Christian, your mother's a Christian, doesn't make you one. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want to read that to you again. Would you read it with me as I do it? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth. And I planted gardens for 7 years here in San Antonio. We don't have one now because I got lazy. My wife got lazy. But you know, I never did plant watermelons and get corn. I never planted corn and got okra. I never planted beans and got tomatoes. What I planted, I got back. When I planted corn, I got corn. Sometimes it wasn't very good corn. Sometimes it wasn't very much corn. And sometimes it was a bumper crop, but I got back the same kind I planted.
I had an old pastor. In fact, the man that was the pastor when I was led to the Lord years ago out in New Mexico. He said when he was a young man that his daddy sent him out to sow seed in the field. And he wanted to get through and go to some big shindig in town somewhere. And he was a farm boy. And so he went out and he was walking across this field and he was broadcasting this seed, you know, and he got out there and had a great big sack and boy, the sun was going down. It was really getting late and he'd gone up and down that field two or three times and he was near through. He said, I'm never going to get through in time to go to town. So he went over to one corner of the field and he dug a hole and he poured all those seeds in and covered them up. He went back to the house and Daddy said, you through? He said, I'm through. Did you get them all planted? I planted them all, Daddy. He said, okay, you can go. He said, come time for harvest. All those plants started coming up, and it was amazing. He said, you know, you can see right where I walked and planted. You can see right where I stopped. There was a whole growth, looked like a jungle at one high spot of the whole thing. All those seeds came up. He said, man, there's this row, a nice little row here, and a nice little row there, and a nice little row here, and all this field out here was nothing but weeds. Nothing growing over there but weeds. And right at this one spot, there was this great growth, this jungle of stuff coming up. He said, you know what I learned? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It depends on where you plant the seed, what kind of seed you plant, and when you plant it. But what you sow, you reap. You know, he thought he got away with it, and he did for one afternoon. He got away with it. He got away with it one afternoon. He got away with it for 6 months. But there came a day when every seed he planted came up. Harvest time! Harvest time! What did his dad find out then? My crop's gone. My crop's gone because my lazy son. You think he didn't suffer for that? I guarantee you he suffered in several ways because of that. You see, my friend, you are not dealing with some Santa Claus that's going to bring you presents whether you're good or bad. Oh, I know he tells you all year long, if you're bad, you won't get any presents. You hear these songs all the time? Of course, you know, I don't believe in Christmas or Easter. I don't. I just don't believe in Easter because I don't believe in bunnies laying eggs. That's a good enough reason to start with. But at any rate, when it comes time for Santa Claus to come, if you've been bad, you won't get anything. And yet every year that little bad boy gets just as much as the good boys and sometimes more. And he's a Lord of lords. And the only reason why we have a gospel to preach is he's also a loving, merciful God who provided a way that you could be saved from his wrath. You spit on it, you make fun of it, you be a fool and go your way. I'll tell you one day you'll reap the results of your foolishness. You'll reap the results of your sin. You'll be separated from God in a place called hell. I'll tell you, those of you sitting here this day, you won't be able to blame me. You can say, well, I didn't like the way that preacher looked. He didn't have on a coat and tie. God said, did you hear the message? Yeah, I heard the message. Well, I didn't like him. He was too fat and too bald and too ugly, too loud and too long. He said, did you hear the message? Did you understand what he said? Yeah? What did he say? Jesus Christ will save your soul if you repent of his sins and come to him. That's enough gospel for you to be saved and the whole world to be saved. For God so loved the world, this great God that spoke this universe out into existence by his word, that scattered the stars by the span of his hand. This great God that hates sin made a way that sinners could be saved. By Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. And this great God made a way for saved people to be forgiven and continually restored into fellowship with him. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only fools make a mock at sin. You see, you're not going to make a choice today of whether I go to heaven or to hell. You're already on the road to hell. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't have to make a choice. I'll choose heaven or I'll choose hell, and I'm sitting on the fence row today, and I haven't really made up my mind which way I'm going to go. I get this answer from a lot of people. Well, you know, I haven't made up my mind yet. Which place you want to go, heaven or hell? Well, I haven't made up my mind yet. You know, I'm just saying, how long have you been thinking about? Hold on, 45 years, but then I'm not ready to make up a decision, you know. I mean, don't want to get in a rush about these things. What are you doing? I'm sitting on the fence. One of these days I may choose to go to heaven. One of these days I may choose to go to hell, but I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm sort of sitting in between. I'm not going anywhere right now. Well, yes, you are. I want you to understand where you're headed. The Bible says you are a sinner. The Bible says you are condemned to die. The Bible says you are on the road to hell. It's a broad road everybody else is traveling. Now, the only thing lacking is your execution. You've already been sentenced and condemned, and your place of eternal damnation and torment is already settled by God's word, and there's not any choice in it. You're on the road to hell. But Jesus Christ has died and paid your debt. He loves you. He cares for you. He's let somebody give you a track. He's let somebody invite you. Let somebody talk to you. He brought you here today so you could even hear me. That's not a great privilege, but you could hear me preach the gospel and tell you how to be saved. That's how much he loves you. There is a heaven. Without Jesus Christ, you can't go there. You can turn over a new leaf. You can join the church. You can be baptized. You can do a lot of good things, but without Jesus Christ, you can't go there. You may be the best person in your block. You may be better than the preachers. You may be better than the deacons. You may be better than the Sunday school teachers. You may be better than anybody you ever met in your life, but you still can't go there without Jesus Christ. Because no matter what you are, what condition you're in, you are a sinner. You have broken God's laws. And because of sin, you can't go there. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God wants to give you a gift. And that gift is eternal life. The way you get the gift is receive the Son. You see, the life is in the Son. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He comes into your heart to live. And wherever He goes, there's eternal life because He'll never die. He becomes your life. He forgives your sin. He wipes the slate clean. He simply takes every sin you've ever committed, every sin you'll ever commit, all the sins that can ever be applied to you, and He credits them to His side. And He takes His righteousness, His perfect, sinless righteousness, and He credits it to your side. There is a legal transaction that takes place in the judgment hall of God in heaven that transfers the righteousness of Jesus Christ to you and transfers your sin to Him so that He bears your sin and you bear His righteousness. He died in your place. You live in His. It's as simple as that. You know, fools hate knowledge. Fools believe there is no God. Fools make a mock at sin. And fools also make a mock at God's sin offering. They despise it. They consider something light and little and not worthy of their consideration. If you walk out of these doors this day, lost and on the road to hell, without calling upon Jesus Christ for your salvation, and God calls you this night to meet Him in judgment, you'll be a fool. You'll be a fool.
You're going to go out to meet God.
Every one. You're going to go out to meet God. If you're saved, I hope you're right with Him. If you live here, I hope you're right with Him. If you're not today and there's something in your life needs to be taken care of, confess it. He'll forgive it. That's the kind of God we serve. Confess it. He'll forgive it. If you're here and you've never been saved, you're lost. And if you died right now, you'd go to hell. Let me recommend to you the only Savior from sin. The only one that ever died for you. The only one that can help you in the problem you've got. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Every head bowed, every eye closed, every heart praying. You say, Brother Kincaid, I know you're talking to me today. I know that you're speaking to my heart today. God the Holy Spirit has touched my heart today. I know I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. Well, let me ask you this, friend. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? Do you believe that God loves you enough to save you if you'd call upon Him? Do you believe He'd save you right now if you'd just humble your heart and ask Him to come in? Then do it. You're one step from eternal life. Simply do it. I didn't know a lot when I got saved. All I knew was that Jesus had died for me, and I had heard that if I would repent of my sins and call upon Him, He'd save my soul. I did it just on that much truth, and He saved my soul and changed my life. He'll save you. He'll save you. Why don't you right now just pray? Say, Father, forgive me of all my sins. Have mercy upon me and save my poor soul. I take Jesus as my only Savior and my only Lord. Why don't you ask Him right now? You're thinking about it. Right now, this moment, make up your mind. Say yes to Jesus. Oh, Father, have mercy upon me, sinner. Oh, God, save me today. I don't want to go another day lost. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be a fool. Oh, God, have mercy upon me and save my soul. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the opportunity to preach it this day. I thank You for these that are here to hear it. I thank You, Lord, because where Your word goes, the Holy Spirit of God touches hearts. You convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. I pray, dear Father, that Your Holy Spirit might have free course in every life here. I pray that some have been saved. I pray that others will be saved before they even leave this room. I ask You, Lord, to touch Christians' hearts. May they break their hearts. May they humble their hearts. May they surrender their lives to Thee. Have Your way in this service. We commit it into Your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.